Can you give me a little sound here?
Can you? I want to say something before I bang the gavel. Turn on my microphone, please.
Is it on? I want to say something before I bang the gavel. On the photographers. If I may have the attention of our guests who we welcome to the Missouri Senate, I see many are taking photographs. You're free to do that, but not flash photography as we proceed through the Senate session this morning. Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, Pastor Gock, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Martin Luther wrote, "Grant that I may not pray alone with the mouth. Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." Mysterious and yet intimate Lord, we know we are to seek you in prayer that is more than words and thoughts, but often the groans of our souls deep within us. There is that essential light that illuminates our darkness, and we seek to find you and know that which is offered and often incomprehensible. Let us fully come to know you that we may come to fully know ourselves and offer that to you, to use and be made complete through your guidance and spirit. So let our hearts be open to you, and may your love bring forth freshness and purity in our actions and our efforts this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, here. Chappelle Nadal, aye. Cunningham, here. Curls, Dixon, here. Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Riddle, Romine, Sater, Schoff, Schaefer, Schatz, Schmidt, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
A quorum is now present and the Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal. I will state once more, no flash photography by our guests, all of whom are welcome. No flash photography. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 49th
day. Senator from the second.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on my left and your right, introduction of a very special guest today, Mr. Robert Hahn from St. James, Missouri. He does a lot of work with the American Legion, Department of Missouri, works with veterans, and that is really where his heart's at, and we're very fortunate to have him today. Wave, Robert.
Let's welcome this special guest to the Missouri Senate. Looks like we have a lot of guests. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was going to introduce special guests, but I would ask for a point of personal privilege on this.
Senator from Polk will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. This morning I do have some guests with me, Mr. President, on your right and my left. But after meeting them this morning in my office, I thought maybe a little higher level than just a special guest this morning. Most of the people you see over there belong to the Midwest Transplant Network, Mid-America Transplant, Missouri Kidney Program, Saving Sight, and donor families who loved one gave the gift of life in 2015. I had a privilege to meet them just briefly in my office, a lot of them. Some of them I know from my district, Deb and Sam, who's from my district, Samantus from my district. But a couple of the gentlemen in there, a couple of them are heart recipients, transplant. You also had a young lady in there, to me, didn't look like she's hardly old enough to have a son, but her son was a donor for someone else in this state. And as I just had a brief time to listen to their stories, Mr. President, I can't imagine a higher calling or a higher cause to help one another, another fellow person in life, to be a donor, a organ donor. And I just have the privilege of introducing them this morning to my colleagues, and I just want to tell you how humble I am to be able to do that today. And I just want to thank you for what you do. A matter of fact, this chamber voted on a bill last week that actually extended the sunshine requirement where you can actually donate to the donors, and they were part of that group. But it's a privilege to have them here at State Capitol Day, and I would ask that the body make
Let's welcome welcome these very special guests who are involved in organ donation from across our state to the Missouri Senate. Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery today, representing JAG, Jobs for American Graduate, I have three school districts from my district. They are the Bismarck School District, Karen Knowles, the Farmington School District, Eric DeMint, and Park Hill School District, Jacob Bollinger, and their students. I'm glad to have them here today.
Let's welcome all these special guests to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Gosh, we've got a lot of special guests here today. And I have a group that they have come from all around the world to be here. Today is International Education Day for our universities. There's 400 of them here today. Half of them are here in the Senate. The other half are over in the House. And so we have students from 86 different countries. Can you believe it? 86 different countries around the world that are here. And they represent 29 different colleges and universities, both public and private. And it's amazing how folks from all around the world see higher education in Missouri as a place that they want to be. And I want to thank our universities, and also thanks to the students for coming here and getting an education in the state of Missouri. We're glad to have you. You add so much to our strength and vitality. And when you go back home, we hope that you have wonderful memories of your stay in Missouri. So at this time, I'd like to
Will all these guests students. From around the world please rise for recognition and a welcome by the Missouri Senate. We're delighted to have all of our guests here today. Senator from Callaway.
Introduction, a very special guest.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have visiting with us today Paris R2 High School students, 29th State Youth Government Day, sponsored by the American Legion Department of Missouri, with sponsor Lloyd Miller. May the body please make them welcome.
Let's welcome these special guests. Where are they? Please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Senator from, introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the second.
Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, reporters Elisa Nelson and Mike Lear from Missouri Net have been granted permission to take videos and photography in the chamber today.
Thank you. So noted, it will be printed in the journal.
And Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I will ask you to recognize the Senator from Boone on House Bill 2014.
House bills on third reading. We are on order of business of House bills third reading. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 2014 with Senate Committee substitute be brought for the body for third reading, final passage.
You heard the motion from the Senator from Boone. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. This is the supplemental budget, House Bill 14. We're handing out a sheet which shows the governor's position, the House position, Senate position. There are only a few changes between what the governor and the House had. One is on ITSD. Which is the computer system for OA, which includes cybersecurity. The governor had $3,125,000. The House cut that down to $1.8 million. We took it back to the governor's amount of $1.3 million. So we went with the governor on that. Then also on in DNR on the soil and water cost share program, the governor had $4 million, and that's spending authority. That is not GR. That's money that comes from the sales tax. The governor had $4 million spending authority. The House took that to zero. We put it back at $4 million, so we went with the governor. Then in House Bill 11, and this is consistent with what we did when we passed House Bill 11 for the 2017 budget and looking at utilization rates and having staff try and find more accurate numbers. For the pharmacy line, we reduced it by $21 million. For the physician services line, we reduced it by $5 million. And for the managed care pickup for tobacco, we reduced it by $1.2 million. Again, that's just, it's still a increase. We just reduced that based on better numbers. In fact, the latest numbers we have from March confirm exactly what we did, which shows that some of those costs are, in fact, not as high as initially anticipated by the governor and the department. And with that, I would renew my motion.
We are on the adoption motion of Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2014. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you very much. I'd like to inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Well, first of all, Senator, I want to thank you for steering us through last week and then also this week. Sometimes a supplemental is something that doesn't get much notice or much notoriety. But when you look at these numbers,
this is the biggest supplemental I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I think that's so important for the body and for our state citizens to know that this is the biggest supplemental bill that we've ever seen.
Right.
And we've mentioned this in committee several times before, but a year ago, Budget Director Linda Lubring said, I don't foresee having a supplemental bill next year.
Right, and that's the same pattern every year. This is not only the 6 years that I've been the chair, but also the 2 years before that, the whole 8 years I've been on the committee, is every year, the governor's agencies come in, they present us with numbers, and, you know, usually we give them their numbers unless there's something that's not supported, and they say, that's it, it's all we need for the whole year. And then they come in 6 months, oh, we were way off, we need way more money. And that's what this is. We had the same fight last year.
Right.
And if you remember, while we were having that discussion, the governor sent out letters to pharmacists saying that thanks to the Missouri General Assembly, you're not going to get paid for prescriptions you already wrote.
Right,
and I believe that they are on the verge of doing that again right now.
So it would be the legislature's fault in a case like that. So the governor's staff, they have that flexibility. They can do that. So,
right.
Yeah. And I guess when you look at a supplemental bill, what really is the reason for a supplemental? I mean, it's for emergencies. It's for things that you don't plan on happening, things that because when we do a budget, you almost have to look 18 months in the future.
Right.
But basically, a supplemental should be something that just happens that comes that no one could account for.
Well, when you look at the language in the Constitution that gives the governor the authority to do a supplemental request,
right. Mm-hmm.
it clearly implies that it's for emergencies.
Right.
Something happened
that you
could not plan for,
right.
And yet what we've seen now with the current governor is it's just now a regular budgeting tool. So really, we're no longer doing 12-month budgets. We are now doing six-month budgets.
Well, now yesterday we did talk about there was a downtick in lottery.
Right.
And so that would be something maybe that was unforeseen. I mean, to me, I can see that if...
We see that. Sure.
Or there's a court ruling on the $50 million that came down on tobacco, I believe. And so those are maybe some unforeseen things.
Right.
But that's the purpose of a supplemental, not just to do what you said, 6 months budgets.
Right. I mean, the vast majority of this supplemental is just growth in House Bill 11 and Medicaid.
If this governor were in office again a year from now, which he will be governor until the end of this year, any predictions on if there will be a supplemental for next year?
I would say that the days of no longer having a supplemental are gone. I would say that everyone on the committee and whoever chairs the committee next year after I'm no longer here, just plan on it.
Right.
And you know, the governor will... Whoever the governor is, hopefully they won't do what the current governor's doing, which is spend the money before we get it or he even has approval to spend it.
Right, and then so we have no choice.
Right, and then we get held hostage
for,
you know, pharmacies and doctors and other businesses that have already provided the service.
Right. Well, I think it's important for us to realize how this supplemental is getting bigger and bigger every year, and it is getting to the point now where we're doing six-month budgets as opposed to year budgets. I think that's...
Flash photography is not allowed in the Senate chambers. Please refrain from flash photography. Sorry, Senators, proceed with your inquiry.
Thank you. Again, thank you for your
leadership. Yeah, thank you for your work. I think the committee, both on the 17 budget as well as the supplemental, I mean, I think only the people on the committee know how many hours you actually put in sitting in that room going through these numbers of a $27 billion budget. So.
And I wholeheartedly agree with the numbers that you were given. I just wish it wasn't as much.
Right. I mean, these are bigger picture policy discussions. I mean, essentially what we're doing is just responding to the situation in appropriations. The bigger picture discussion that needs to take place on this floor and over in the House is, what is this going to be? Let's be proactive. What's this going to be going forward?
Right.
And I hope that we get to that point.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Any other senators desire to be heard on the adoption motion? Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Good morning, Senator. Morning. Thank you. So just to, in order to understand this $466 million, where does that money come from?
Well, if you look at this second sheet that we handed out, it just gives you general numbers. And so, for example, you'll see that what we've got in our Senate committee sub is the GR total. I mean, GR is GR. GR comes mostly from income tax. A little less than 80% comes from income tax, then sales tax and some other taxes. But that is Missouri tax money that on an annual basis is supposed to be discretionary for us. It's discretionary general revenue. It's general revenue. And it's supposed to, basically what it funds, for the most part, it funds Medicaid, it funds public education, and it funds prisons. And then it funds employees and state benefits and some other things. But the three big silos that consume almost all of this money are Medicaid, public education, and prisons. And so when you look, for example, and remember, this is a supplemental. So that there was growth already in these lines for 2016, for the 2016 budget we passed at this time last year. Right. This supplemental just represents the additional growth on top of that. And so this is $279.5 million of GR and $152.5 million of federal. And then $34 million of other.
So this is money, this $279 million is money that might have gone into the new budget that we're working on now, or
yes,
it might have gone back to the taxpayers as some kind of a tax refund or a tax cut.
Or would have gone into fully funding the formula, K-12 funding formula. It would have gone into public safety. It could have gone into transportation. There's all kinds of places it could go, but it doesn't. Because even though it's discretionary revenue, the term discretionary doesn't apply anymore because the legal strings that the federal government attaches to Medicaid mean that the legal obligation that we have is to no longer have the discretion where to spend that money. It's legally required that we spend it in House Bill 11, which is where all this growth is.
Okay, so because of that, we can't move it. We can't just ignore it.
Right.
We have to pay the bills because we've incurred the bills, but that is money that we otherwise would have had this year when we did the budget to have
appropriated. It would have lapsed. I think it's interesting, though, that the governor's numbers, even with this enormous supplemental, the governor is still planning on lapsing $280 million.
Right, right. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senators desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th.
Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
First of all, I want to say thank you. I did finally get my balance sheet yesterday, so I appreciate that. I do have a couple of questions about it. There are a couple of lines on the balance sheet that say we have not received the information. One of them is under the capital improvements and maintenance repair. And I think if I don't have the sheet in front of me, but if I remember correctly, the governor did have money in those lines. Let me see if I can see a note to myself about that.
Yeah, it's because we have not gotten House Bill 17, the reauthorization bill, and we have not gotten House Bill 18 yet, which is the CI bill.
So if we don't have those two numbers, this ending balance of $97 million is not really necessarily accurate because we're not basing it on all the information.
Well, it's where we stand right now, but arguably, if we pass a CI bill, the 17, the reauthorization bill, really doesn't affect it that much. But 18, which is a capital improvement bill, It could. Now, I've been in this building for 8 years, and sometimes CI bills make it through, and sometimes CI bills don't make it through. So unlike the 13 core budget bills, which have to make it through, or we just keep coming back every week on a special session until we get it done, there is no legal requirement to pass a capital improvement bill. So 18 may pass, it may not pass, but you're correct. If it does, whatever gets spent out of that will reduce that $97 million line.
Right, which is why I feel like it's, first of all, a good idea to look at the balance sheet, know where we are, and to, frankly, do the supplemental before we go into the budget bills. But we've had that discussion. We didn't do it that way.
Well,
I'm hopeful going.
That's already baked into our numbers. That's different than a CI bill.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So what we're doing right now is the supplemental.
Right.
Our numbers in the supplemental are already baked into the 13 core budget bills that we passed already. That's baked in. You're correct in that whatever we spend in a supplemental, or not supplemental, in a CI bill is not baked into it.
Right. It is not. So I'm just saying that, once again, we're sort of moving forward, and
but
perhaps this is the order for these two areas.
But
that
the CI bill is House Bill 18.
We don't even want to make, I understand that.
You
we
can't
don't
pass
make an
House
estimate.
Bill 18 before House Bills 1 through 13.
We don't want to make an estimate of what that would be to give us a better sense of where we are at the end of, on the balance sheet at the end of the day.
Well, sure, we'll do that.
I don't know.
Have they passed it out of there yet? They haven't passed it yet. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to be in it.
I understand. But sometimes, as we discussed the other day on the floor, last week when we were doing the budget, sometimes things are accounted for in the budget that we have or have not passed.
I mean, the numbers that we gave you.
I would think that would be one of the areas where we would estimate. But
right.
It wasn't done. I'm just saying we don't have, we're not operating with.
Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd ask for unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would be introduced. The gallery is packed, which is great for this republic that there are so many folks that are engaged in this process. So the St. Peter's group is not in the gallery. If they were in the gallery, I would promote their fish fry because they have one of the best fish fries in St. Louis County. But I do have some pages here that I'd like to be made pages. Daniel Sendebri. Sendobri. Thank you very much. Gigi Bayer. Abby Russell. And Alpha Bungura, right?
Bungura.
All right. I did the best I could. These folks are here. These kids are here from St. Peter's and Kirkwood, and would ask my colleagues to make them feel welcome and ask that they be made pages for the day. And if we could just have a round of applause for the folks, the hundreds of folks who are here who could not get in the gallery, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's make the guest of the senior senator from St. Louis County feel welcome today. And these folks will be made pages at the senator's pay. And well, let's make them feel welcome today.
Senator, if I can go on, I'm going to go back to the supplemental bill and what you passed out this morning.
Okay.
Under HB 11, the cuts, and I know you talked about them briefly, but if you can give me the $21 million cut from the estimate of $59 million to be spent on the pharmacy line. And I think when you went through those areas, mm-hmm. you said at the end of the day those weren't cuts. So would you just, I think that's what I heard you say. Would you just explain to me?
Yeah, because it's not a cut.
Yeah, would you explain to me why those changed, how you account for that $21 million, what looks like a cut, the $5 million cut from the estimate of $35 million on the physician line, and the $1 million cut from the $40 million estimate on hospital care, and where and how they are not cuts?
Because it is still growth. There already was growth in all of these lines in the 2016 budget. And with this supplemental, there is still growth. Let's use the pharmacy line for an example. That line still grows in this supplemental. By what we already grew in 16,
so,
it grows by $37 million.
All right. So I understand that. What I'm asking you then is why they were cut from the estimates that were originally on there. What determinations were made?
So in other words, why did we reduce the amount of growth from what was asked for by the governor and the department?
Yes. Based on what rationale?
This growth is based on utilization rate. It's people that aren't really on there yet and how much more money is going to be needed for additional expenditures. So we now have better numbers from when that number was developed. In fact, the latest we have from March, which wasn't available at the time they developed these, because obviously these were developed months before that, show a decline actually in their growth rate. So what these numbers represent, and our staff does a fantastic job, the analysts and the approach staff group do, is look at what they really believe that growth number is, and their growth number is smaller than the growth number requested by the governor and the department.
Right, and you know what, I agree that the staff, I mean, this is a huge job. This is a $27 billion plus budget, and I think that they do work with integrity and they do the best they can. These are always estimates, and there are a lot of moving parts in a budget. However, we're coming back with a supplemental, and as you said, we always will. You think we always will going forward, because we can't be totally accurate in estimating these things, so sometimes we have to pay more. We made cuts in the Medicaid budget again, and, you know, we have to pay.
No, we didn't make cuts in the Medicaid budget. We made reductions in the
reductions
level of growth.
Reductions in the
growth.
There is
still substantial growth.
But whatever that amount is, it's going to be. So, again, your estimate, do you believe that your cuts in the growth are going to prove out to be accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
And that we're not going to be coming back with another supplemental, because, as you know,
well, we can't come back with another supplemental.
Not for this year, for the following year.
So. I guarantee there'll be a supplemental next year.
Okay.
We could give the governor every single dime that he asked for and give him $1 billion on top of it, and I guarantee in 6 months he will come back for a supplemental.
Right. And
well, now this governor will be gone.
Well,
so
I mean,
hopefully we
the governor, none of us determine what the Medicaid costs are going to be. They are what they are.
Well,
my question to you is, are we passing the buck in this new budget when we don't try to accurately or more accurately estimate what those cuts are going to be? So
see,
then we end up with a supplemental. Doesn't
this
it put our budget, our ratings, our AAA credit ratings at risk when we sort of move the expenses
down the
road?
This has nothing to do with our AAA rating. Absolutely nothing.
Well, we need to make sure that we're paying those bills on time, or I think that we are putting our credit rating as a state at risk. So I'm asking you, do we feel confident?
Are we not paying them on time? Do you know something that I don't know?
No, I'm asking you, because I think it's a really important thing that we do. And when we don't put them in the original budget, in the House bills.
No, the governor's paying them on time. In fact, actually what he's doing is he's not giving Missourians their tax refunds so that he can pay the federal government on these lines. That's actually
what
he's doing.
Well, it's interesting
right now,
because, you know, we have he has a real balancing act, doesn't he? He's got to make sure we pay these bills, or we're in jeopardy for having higher interest rates and for things that we need to borrow being very much more expensive. So,
right, but that's a separate issue from the appropriation authority on the total amount. That's a cash flow problem, which has nothing to do with the maximum authority.
Well,
that
I think
given.
It does have to do with what we appropriate, or what we allow, the authority that we give to pay bills.
Yeah, but it's never. He always has enough money to pay the bills. He just doesn't have enough money coming in from taxpayers. Taxpayers are not paying the governor enough and fast enough to keep up with the outrageous growth on Medicaid. So what he's doing is taking the money that he gets, he's paying the feds for Medicaid, and he's not paying Missouri taxpayers their refunds, because I think they're about a month behind right now on refunds.
Well, and I find it interesting that you keep talking about, and you have all the way through the budget process, the outrageous growth in Medicaid. You know, we only spend Medicaid dollars on, with the exception of disabilities and pregnant women in some unique situations, we only spend money on people making 19% of the federal poverty level.
Well, that's not true.
So
we
a family of four
kids up to
making less than $5,000 a year is not eligible for our Medicaid system. So we're talking about helping people have access to health care, and you act as if we're doing something terribly wrong by helping the people with the lowest incomes in the state of Missouri get access to the health care they need for themselves and their families. So you and I are going to disagree with this on that issue. I know that we need
How
to go ahead
enough,
and finally
Senator?
Pass the
How
supplemental, but I just want to remind the body, I think that, you know, I don't know, when more and more people are not making ends meet and fall into that 19% of the federal poverty level range, which is, again, making less than $5,000 a year for a family of four, I would suggest that it is incumbent upon our government to help them raise themselves out of poverty. One of the ways.
I agree with that. You know how you do
them,
that? You change your tax
one of
policies.
The ways is to
you
help
change
them
your growth policy.
Stay
That's
well.
That's how you do it.
Go to the doctor, go to the clinic, get themselves taken care of so they're healthy enough to go to work.
And I look forward to working with you to make a better tax policy so we actually get
when are we
investment
gonna do
and job
that?
Growth in the state, so that our answer is creating jobs for people, not simply giving them more welfare benefits when more and more people
well,
can't find
again.
A job. Because that's what we're doing under the governor's policy. That's all we're doing, is we're funding, we're not creating the dynamic that makes people jobless.
Well,
we're
I don't agree with you, and I
fund more and more of them.
I don't agree with you, and there are some people for a variety of reasons that are in a situation where they are living in poverty, and you keep suggesting that this is something that we have created, and I don't agree with you. I don't think that we've created it, and certainly we need to do things to help these people out of poverty instead of continuing to rail against a program that provides health care so that people can be healthy enough to go to work. I have one more question for you again, or at least a comment for the body. So thank you, Senator, for the inquiry, but a comment that we need to be really...
Three senators standing. Senator from the 9th, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
On behalf of the Senator from Cole, I have the honor of introducing the Lincoln University NCAA Division II National Champion Women's Indoor Track and Field Team. This was the Blue Tigers' fifth NCAA Division II National Championship in Indoor Track and Field and the 12th overall national title in Women's Track and Field. The Blue Tigers were led to victory by their head coach, Victor Thomas. Today we have with us in the chamber head coach Victor Thomas, Yannick Ellington, Venetia Baker, and Lincoln University President Dr. Kevin Rome, accepting a resolution on behalf of the track and field team. Please join me today in congratulating Coach Thomas and the entire Lincoln University Women's Indoor Track and Field Team on their national championship, and help me in making them feel welcome today in the Missouri Senate.
Congratulations. Let's the body make them feel congratulations. Sorry, Senators, for the interruption, but proceed with your debate.
I was actually done with the inquiry. Congratulations to our national track stars. That's fantastic. And congratulations to Lincoln University. My final comment is that we just need to be careful. The ending balance that I'm showing on this balance sheet does not show all of the costs that we have for our original pre-supplemental budget. And so we need to, as we look at this budget, make sure that
Senator,
we know.
Senator, are you inquiring of the Senator, or are you making a comment on the...
I'm making a comment.
Okay. In your inquiry with the Senator?
My inquiry.
Thank you.
All right. Proceed. Just got to be careful about these bottom lines and where we're spending money from and what money we put into the supplemental and how it impacts the budget that just passed out of here the other day. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Before we get started, I thought you had to seek recognition from the chair, from the president, to actually speak on a bill. So, again, just like my objections yesterday, I think trying to keep things a little more in order in here.
Yeah, no, I think I strongly agree that the procedure and protocol of the chamber is something we all need to be mindful of, and probably none of us bat 1,000 on it over the course of our career, but we all try.
But you know what? So, I've been here for 8 years, and I've seen it slip and slip and slip. And I know that I see things in this chamber, and I know this is off topic from what we're talking about, but I see things in this chamber every day that when I came in 8 years ago, if you would have done in this chamber, particularly in my first 2 years here where we still had senators that were not, they were still here from before term limits.
Yeah.
And the last of them got knocked out in 2010, but they had a little more the tradition of the body.
Yep.
And some of the things that occur on a daily basis in this chamber, you absolutely would be taken to school on, and I think that it's very important to keep that in mind. And I'm just, look, I don't have much time left here because I'm termed out, but right. I'm going to be a stickler on this for the last month or however long we're here, just because I see a trend and I don't like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Do you, if you don't mind my asking, Senator, do you think that the Senator from Johnson has had a disproportionate impact in that sort of corrupting influence?
I think he is possibly
the
worst influence, yes,
yeah,
on the process.
I tend to concur. He seems to take great pride in that.
He does.
Which is perhaps what I find the most, the cause of greatest consternation. Well, Senator, I want to start first and foremost by thanking the Senate Appropriations Committee staff. They've given us a lot of good information on this budget, and I think... the spreadsheet they have provided on the supplemental is so succinct yet so comprehensive that it's pretty much going to be all that I'm asking you about. So first observation I'll make, it would appear as though there's 64 lines in the supplemental budget, and it looks to me as if the House actually only changed three of them.
Yeah,
it looks like the House looks like the House made the change that it did on 14.055, which the Senate position is to change back to what had been initially requested. The House made a change on 14.080. Again, it looks as though it's our inclination to go with the original request rather than the House position. And the third change that I see, and it's one in which the Senate appears to have concurred, is line 14.095, which is the Division of Energy Technical Reference Manual. There, it would appear to me as though there was a $141,989 in federal dollars that were requested on that line. It's federal dollars, it's not GR dollars. And I just guess I would ask if there's anything that you can tell me about that in terms of what the administration was asking for, and what you know, why it would be federal dollars and why we would go in the direction, both House and Senate, of not acceding to that particular request.
Yeah, because they don't need it right now. It's a two-year grant.
Okay.
And so there's no reason for them to get that in the supplemental because they don't need it for the remaining 6 months.
Got it. So in other words, when you say it's a two-year grant, are we at the end of the 2 years? Yeah. Or are we just entering the 2 years such that it might be on the table next year?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, which? I mean, it would
the
be
latter.
The latter. Got it. So in other words, rather than doing this through the supplemental, let's just keep this particular line item confined to the ordinary budgeting process. There's
correct.
No reason to do this in a supplemental.
That's exactly
We'll
right.
be back next year to talk about it again. I understand that. So apart from those three changes, it looks like the House essentially agreed to what had been requested. And I note that there are three other lines that it would appear as though the Senate has some issue with, and it happens that those three lines total almost $29 million, so I do want to take a minute to talk through those. The first, and it's far and away the biggest issue that has been drawn in either chamber over the supplemental budget, and that is the $59 million in change request on line 14.175, which is titled pharmacy, and those are general revenue dollars. The House concurred, the Senate has come back at a little less than $37.5 million, which is a difference of a little bit more than $21.5 million. Can I start by just asking, Senator, what is line 14.175 pharmacy? What is that for?
It's the pharmacy line for Medicaid.
Okay. So
it's for all the drugs that we have to buy.
Got it. With state revenue, state general revenue dollars.
Well, it's a match. Yeah.
Got it. So right. It's one part state, one part federal.
About 60-40, yeah.
Got it. Okay, so three parts federal, two parts state. Would that be more precise then?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about prescription drugs?
Yeah, I think both specialty and regular, yes.
Okay. So very simple question. Why is it that we think the number ought to be 37.5 rather than 59.1? An understanding... To your point earlier, we're talking about new dollars. We're not talking about cutting the Medicaid budget. We're talking about how much of a supplementation we're going to make to it.
Right, because it's an estimate on how much this is growth just for the last six
sure.
months.
Yeah, I understand that.
And our analysts have looked at the data and do not think the growth is as much.
Got it.
As the department says.
And mind you, by passing the supplemental budget on this basis out of the Senate, this would be a conferenceable item. Presumably, the conference process on the supplemental will include opportunities for advocates of both numbers to sort of come and
yep.
pitch their case to the conference committee, and the conference committee can decide if they like the House position, if they like the Senate position, or any point in between.
Yes.
And the idea is to get the most accurate estimate possible so we're not authorizing money that isn't needed on one hand, or so that we're not failing to authorize money that is.
Correct.
Got it. All right. So same question for line 14.180, physician services, excuse me. Yeah, 14.180, physician services, and can you just briefly explain precisely what that is?
That's fee for service reimbursement for doctors.
Got it. And I assume the rationale for our $30.3 million estimate as opposed to the administration's almost $36 million estimate is, again, Senate analysts believe that the number is lower.
We don't think the utilization rate, the increase, is as large as what they're saying it will be.
Sure. And again, by passing the supplemental budget with the Senate position, we will have the opportunity in conference to figure out collectively who we think is right.
Yes.
And is it the same rationale for line 14.215, hospital care?
Right. Yes.
Very good. Senator, I appreciate your taking the time to answer my questions.
Thank you.
Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Seeing unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, up in the upper gallery to your left and my right, we have good friends from the National Council of Jewish Women who are here visiting today to advocate for the causes they care deeply about. They include Beth Feldman, Nancy Litz, Susan Witte, Stacy Kress, Lisa Samus, Marilyn Pittler, Diana Fine, Marilyn Ratkin, Linda Dahl, Jen Bernstein, Benita Boxerman, Margie Gold, Sue Weintraub, Annalise Weig, and Ellen Alper, Fairlyn Hale, Beth Feldman, and Darian Arnstein. So if you could join me in please making them welcome to our state capitol.
Would the guests please rise and the body make them feel welcome today. Glad to have you here. We are on the adoption motion of Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2014. Any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close on my adoption motion of the Senate Substitute. You've
heard the motion from the Senator from Boone. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Boone.
President, I move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2014 be third read and finally passed.